Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the After Show with Mackenzie Stewart and Amy Shannon, a spinoff of the Fishbowl Radio Network's The Writer's Edge. I'm Mackenzie Stewart. I'm an author and educator.
And I'm Amy Shannon. I'm an author, poet, editor, and book reviewer. We're here to share about everything literary.
Writing tips, experience, trends, and even interviews.
Yes, interviews with authors and other literary industry professionals.
So sit back, notebook and pen in one hand, a glass of wine in the other.
And enjoy the after show.
How are you, Amy?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. So what's been going on with your book reviews?
Well, I've been getting a lot of requests have been coming in, and, you know, I've been reading the requests, and a lot of them are new, and some are from authors that I've read for before. I guess a lot of times they put me on the top list to ask when their book's ready to come out. So I've been getting those. I've been posting when I can. I haven't been well this week, so I haven't been doing a lot of reading or writing reviews, but as soon as I'm back up to it, the reviews will continue to get posted, and more books will be read, so there is always that.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry you're not well. Sorry to hear that.
It's just one of my really bad headaches, so I can't really do a lot of reading. And if I can't read, I can't really write up any reviews. But hopefully by next week, I should get started posting again. But I do make sure that the reviews that I are scheduled for release date, no matter how I feel, I do get those posted. So I try to be fair to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you're always doing things for so many people. And I say that because, you know, one of the things that as writers that we need reviews. So we need people who are reviewers. And, you know, I've ran into a couple along the way with my other show that I hosted. But really, to be honest, I don't really see a consistency like I see from you. You're consistent in, you know, posting, reading. You're there. You typically, like today, clearly you don't feel very well, and you're hosting the show. You're going to make sure the reviews, if you promise somebody something, you're going to make sure that's actually taken care of. And it's really not a lot of reviewers in my mind out there. And I did compile a list one time of the reviewers to kind of, you know, see if I can get my work before them, and they are not responsive. They are not responsive.
Yeah. That was one of the things when I started doing this, and I mean, my whole process has grown and changed over the years, and I've always tried to make it better, and, you know, I add rules and policies for a reason. It helps me not only stay organized, but, you know, it helps me be consistent. One thing I did find when I was just starting out, I looked at other reviewers. You know, I try to get some of my work in front of them, not just to see if they would read my work and give it a review, but just to see how they worked. You know, I was just kind of getting a feel for it. And the one thing that I noticed most is that a lot of times when they post, if they do post your review, they don't follow up and say, hey, guess what, I posted your review. You kind of find it by accident if you're browsing your own books and see if you got any more reviews or whatever, and that's how you find out. Me, I like to let people know, okay, these are where I posted your reviews. You know, I always post it on my blog, and they can share it on social media. They can do whatever. I share it on Facebook, on Twitter. You know, they can retweet or reshare or whatever they want to do with it. But they know it's there. I mean, as soon as I put it on my blog, before I even share it on Twitter and everything, I finish up the email to them and say, here, your review's been posted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I find that there's not really a process that's happening or really goes on. So it's just really hard to kind of navigate. And is there a place where anyone who's a reviewer, is there a, I guess, a master list? If you're a reviewer or if you want to be a reviewer, do you go someplace very specific in order to find, to actually join and to kind of figure out how you set your process up or how you can actually find a reviewer just in general?
Yeah, there are. On my welcome page of my book review blog, if you scroll down, there's some advertising space, but there's also links or embedded images of kind of a master list, like a book reviewer directory of where you're listed. And I must say, when I found out that there was a list, I kind of found out by accident, because I was looking for book reviewers for my own stuff, and I kind of tripped over it on the internet by accident, and I was reading to see if it was worthwhile to put my name on it. And there is a website, I think it's the Indie Review Directory, and I have their link because I'm on their website. And, you fill out a form, give them information. They verify that it's, exactly what you say it is. And then they list your name and they list your genre on your website and a link to, like, your policy or your request page. And when I did that, within a week of being on the list, I got bombarded with requests. And that's when I started really more formalizing what I did, because there's no way I could just keep, I create form letters and I update them often to fit the needs of who I'm talking to, who I'm addressing. But, I mean, within a month of being on that, I got over 100 requests. And then it spread from there, and that was just one directory that I was on. And there are a couple more that I'm on too. But I always ask, when they put in their first request, how'd you hear about me? I get curious about it. And a lot of them have come from that, or some people just Google my name because they've heard that, or they've heard from other authors, you got to get on this list, or a publicist, or, basically how you heard about me. It's kind of word of mouth, and so that makes it all interesting, and that's why I really I have to be organized, or nothing would ever get done.
Yeah, I definitely do agree. Being organized is very helpful. I mean, because I know my very first experience with you, you sent me back that spreadsheet. We had to fill in the link. We had to do all of that. And at first I was like, man, this is a lot of work. And then one day I sat down and I did it. Well, because it was for my benefit, right? I mean, you can't do everything for everybody. And so after that,
prior to me sending out the spreadsheet, I would fill that in myself from information they gave me in their request. And then it just, when I got so many, I'm like, they got to fill this in themselves. it was a lot easier. It was a lot more time consuming that I had to put it in. When they send me the spreadsheet and they send me links, I check the links. I validate, the Amazon link. I check to see if the information they sent me is correct. One thing that's really important when they fill out the form is to not have a typo, especially in their email address, because I can't get back to them if their email is incorrect. You know, I have no way of contacting them. And I don't have the energy to try to hunt down so-and-so author that wrote so-and-so book just so I can get some more information. I kind of wait until they contact me again, if they do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the whole thing, right? It's one of those things, you know, you have to check back and, you know, follow up. And so they, meaning, you know, the author needs to, you know, follow up and say, hey, you know, do you have everything that you need? Because, you know, you are doing this for free for them. And so,
yeah.
You know, and the least, you know, we can do as authors is check back and say, hey, do you have everything, and get you what you need as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I mean, because I check, you know, when I look at the spreadsheet and I combine it into my master spreadsheet, and then I have created several spreadsheets about just the author information. So I always have their information, you know, once it's kind of like I create like databases from Excel spreadsheets, and I've had to split it up so many times because there's so many, but you know, if once they've given me their information, I have it, and I back that information up. So, you know, the only time they need to, if something's changed, like their email address has changed, or they now have a Twitter account, or they now have a BookBub account, or whatever, when they send the next request, if they could give that information. And sometimes I'll go through my stuff and see what I'm missing, and I'll just kind of send out a blanket request, like, if anything has changed since you last had a review by me, let me know so I can update my records, because sometimes I just do that, make sure I don't have duplicates, because I have authors that write under different pen names, but I keep all their information on one sheet, so I know, you know, okay, this pen name wrote this book, this pen name wrote that book, because sometimes their information is the same in other places.
Mhm. Yeah, that makes total sense with that. Yeah, you're definitely very organized in how you do things and how you keep, you know, accurate record of what's happening.
I've had authors lie just to, you know, like they want me to do a release date review and then they'll say, oh, yeah, my release is coming up. And then they give me the link, and I check it out, and I'm like, this was released last year. They just thought that they could fool me by, you know, lying about the release date so they could get a review ahead of other people. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I get options, you know, if you want to donate different things and kind of move yourself up on the list, you can do that. And all that's on my shelf. But what I do is I click on the Amazon link that they put in, and I look, and I see that the information they sent me is valid, that it's a good link, because sometimes they don't have the whole thing or it's a broken link, you know, stuff like that. And then on my Amazon account, I actually have, you know, I created a wish list that's where I put all the books that I'm going to review. So I click on the link, it might add it to that particular wish link. So the wish list, so that if every once in a while I'll check to see, maybe they have a deal on their books or it's free a certain amount of days or something like that, then if I have funds in my book buying account, then I can purchase books. And a lot of times I go by the lowest first. That's how I do it so I can get more, the lowest priced books first, and then I work me up, way up when I have the funds in the account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's easy to see you know, if it's on sale and the author forgot to tell me or something, and I have the funds and I can do it, but I can also just see it's easier to go there and just kind of put them all in one thing, because then you can filter and sort and see your books. And then if they're on Goodreads, I make them that, you know, the status of want to read. And then when it gets posted, it, you know, I change it to read and my review gets posted.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like you have a very solid process and you're very organized in what you do and how you do it, and I think that's important. You know, we as authors don't tell you enough how much we appreciate what you do. And because, I mean, you're reading a lot of books. Now, tell the audience about, you know, whenever you're posting to Amazon, you know, how does that work as far as you being a reviewer? Are you recognized with Amazon as being a reviewer? How, you know, you're reading so many books a year. Is there a tier? You're like platinum? How does that work?
Well, Amazon has a program called Vine, and they choose reviewers. Eventually, I'd love to be on that. But I'm like in the top 1,000, you know, reviewers on the site, and, you know, they have different criteria, and they pick. It's not like a reviewer can just, like, sign up for it. But the one thing about what I do with Amazon is, with the growth of social media and rumors, that people will misconstrue what Amazon's rules are. Now, mm-hmm. I make sure I follow their guidelines. If I have a verified purchase review, which basically means I paid money and bought this book, or the book was listed as free and I bought it and it's a verified review. If an author sends me, you know, a gift card, I redeem that, buy the book, that's still a verified review. If the author sends me the book as a gift, you know, in direct payment of, you know, it's a gift, it's not something I bought, they don't consider that a verified purchase. Or you can review any book, but if it's, you are allowed in a 7-day span to post up to 5 unverified purchased reviews. So each week I can do 5 that I haven't bought. So I try to, you know, I even have a calendar to show me, you know, a schedule so I can look and see, okay, is this one purchased? Like, for sometimes I'll pre-order a book and that would be a verified purchase. I usually, since 5 is their limit, I usually do, when I can, I do up to 4 of the unverified purchases, because I give myself that leeway, because sometimes an author will come to me and say, you know, I put this book in a collection, can you post your review here as well? You know, so I give myself that little leeway, so it's not a verified purchase, but the review's already been written, it's been posted on another book, or they had a problem and they had to publish their book and they got a new link and all that stuff. So I kind of try to keep the 5th one as a space in case an author needs me to assist them in some way.
Again, that's a whole lot of being organized.
And all of that is, I'm very transparent as to what books are on my list. I also, on my bookshelf page, there's different shelves and titles of the book, and the author's last name is in parentheses. I've updated some of my policies, and my lists are getting quite long, but some people don't understand. They look at my VIP standard list, and they see, you know, it's got like 80 titles on it. So they think if they go to the bottom, it's going to take forever. But if they look at the list, every author who sends me more than one book, those books get listed in a row. And then what happens is when the first book within that list gets read and reviewed and posted, that book gets removed, and then the rest of their titles get shifted back to the bottom. It's very rare. I've done it only a couple times when I've made arrangements with the author to post more than one author's book review consecutively. It's very rare that I do that, but sometimes it's kind of necessary because there could be a release problem, or they're releasing one book, but they want me to read the book before it, prior to the release. And sometimes I read them back to back, and I post both those reviews on the same day. But it's very rare that I do that.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Well,
they also
I definitely
have, right. No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just saying I give them the option, say eventually they turn their maybe they only have like a Kindle or a Kindle book published, and later on they have a paperback. So they can tell me that they've had it's published in a new format, so I can post my review on that, or they have it turned into an audiobook. Now, I will re-listen to the audiobook because I not only take my review of the story, but also how it's narrated and things like that, and then I add that to the existing review and we'll post that like on Audible or wherever the audiobook is listed.
Yeah, you know, I think that's also very important, too, in choosing someone, because you have to, you should definitely have people to audition so you can listen to how they sound reading the book. Because, you know, sometimes if you're reading it, if it's written in the perspective of a male or female, I think that really matters in who you choose to read your book, which gender. I'll just say gender. And then from there you can choose, you know, specifically who you want to read.
Definitely. I think it's really important. I personally have one book that is an audio book. I have a male lead character, so I wanted the narrator to be male. And when he auditioned, I was like, this is the guy. This is perfect. But what I liked about him, too, is that he could do, say, different sound effects. Like, if he was talking on, a character was talking on the telephone, he had a way to give an effect as if it was slightly muffled, you know, like how you would hear talking on an old telephone or something like that. And it was like, I fell in love with the story all over again just because the narrator's voice, you know, it's like listening to Morgan Freeman on a commercial or James Earl Jones. I watched The Lion King the other day, the latest one, and he was one of the characters, so it was great. That just stands out in my head.
Right.
You know, voice is very important, how things are, you know, said. And I've heard audiobooks that kind of like, it doesn't feel like the narrator connected with the story. You know, not saying that they did something wrong, but there seems to be like no emotion behind reading it. It'd be like someone reading Shakespeare in a monotone, you know?
Right.
So where there's no connection. And I think that's really important for people to understand.
And you know, also I think something else that authors should definitely be very mindful of, those agreements when you do choose someone to narrate your book. you know, as far as how you're going to pay them. So
yeah.
That's going to be something else. You can pay them all up front, or are you going to do some sort of royalty where they get a little bit of you know, the royalty from your actual work. So
that's how I did it, the second one, you know, for a certain amount of books sold, and, you know, they get the there's a percentage of the royalties. I figured that was a lot easier.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, they don't
absolutely
have to accept it. I mean, they can. You know, it's their option if they want accept that, or you know, they want just a lump sum up front. But, you know, that's kind of, it's a contract between two people. And I mean, when I use ACX, which is basically from Amazon, you know, and Audible. But I almost had another book that was done, and the narrator got all the way to the end, but Oliver, her recordings, and I could see why, they kept getting sent back, like, not approved by ACX. So eventually she's just like, I can't do this anymore, and then that's where that ended. And then I was like, I'm not going to deal with this right now, and I'll figure something out later.
You know, I definitely do want to explore audiobooks. You know, I was thinking about putting, you know, perhaps the first book in audio format, just to see what that experience looks like and what it feels like, and
yeah,
perhaps get a different type of a listener.
Yeah, I mean, I did it because I was, like, curious about the process, you know, and what it entailed. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of expectations of how it was going to work because I didn't really know what it was. But once, you know, you give a piece of your, you know, like a script, you know, like a page or two that you upload, and then they, the narrators, you know, they get to pick if they want to audition, and then they send a recording of them reading your script, and then you listen to it and see if you want to accept it. And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Yeah, this whole thing has it intrigues me because there's just so many aspects of it that about writing a book that, you know, still intrigues me the more we can actually do with our
writing.
Yeah,
it's a lot. I mean, just if you think about just the art of writing and being creative, not the publishing or the marketing or anything like that, we're putting our thoughts, our ideas, our characters on paper. And, you know, it's coming out of our mind, and they're, you know, and we're reading it. I mean, when I read a book and I love it, I'm, like, really engrossed in it. You know, I don't just read books to write reviews. I also have a pile of books that I just want to read because I like to read. So, you know, I have that. I always have at least two books in my Kindle in my purse when I know I'm going to be waiting someplace. But, you know, it's the art of just putting it on paper, getting it down. And then when you read your own work, I mean, it's one thing typing it out, whatever. And when you finish, like me, I wait till I finish the first draft before I go and I read through it. And it's like, wow, I wrote that. You know, it's like you impress yourself. So, yeah, it's writing is an art and it's a craft because you can, even if someone is a good writer, doesn't mean they can tell a story. I mean, there are writers that can write for academics or, you know, like thesis papers and things like that where there's no emotion behind it, or technical writing, and I've done all that. I mean, I know I can write, but creating characters is, it's an art form. It's painting with words, I like to say that, because that's what
you're
doing.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, definitely. So, Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Hey, doing very well. Doing very well. So the saga goes on about, you know, saving your information, and so I had to have a high level team to try to extract it for me. So I'm still working on that. I had to have the So we'll see. But it's worth me getting it because my intellectual property is on there, and I definitely want to make sure that I'm able to pick up my books and start writing again. So I'm at a place right now. I'm feeling very good and confident that I can focus. And so that's what I want to start working on, again, my work. So we'll see.
Well, that's good. I hope they can retrieve your information for you.
Yeah, so this is a lesson learned. So, you know, just the listeners out there, just please make sure that you're saving your work in multiple different places. Perhaps it's a good idea to use some sort of Google document because it saves it as you go along, and so you can actually retrieve your information that way. So lesson learned, and that's all I can say.
Yeah, and even if they like writing on the computer, they can upload it to your Google Drive, or you can copy it. It depends on, you know, if you have cloud drives. So I know that when I bought, like, a USB stick, it also came with, like, I don't remember the number, but it also came with access to my own cloud drive. So that sometimes that's worth getting too. You know, you can save it to the cloud, but I always try to save it in multiple places. And then also, once it's pretty much done, I save it as a PDF too. So just to, those are less likely to get corrupted once the work is done. So I do it that way as well. But yeah,
okay.
Sometimes we don't think of these things until something bad happens.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, there we go. So what's going on with Amy Bookshelf Reviews?
Well, I it's interesting. I'm getting, the past few weeks, I've been getting requests from authors that I haven't heard from in quite a while. Mm-hmm. I had this one author, she's like, can you read this book? And you know, and I looked at it, I'm like, I know the name, sounded familiar. And then when I looked it up, it was a book that I had already reviewed. I'm like, I reviewed all these books that were yours. She's like, oh, well, I have another one coming out. Will you do that one? And I'm like, yeah, sure. But it, you know, it was interesting that, and I've had that happen before. Authors will say, can you read this, you know, review my book for me? And because it's been a couple years, and I look at the title and something I already read. So, you know, authors should take notes, too.
Right. And, you know, you are very organized with that, so you know when you've already read something. But, right, and so authors should know that you've already reviewed something previously as well.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I have spreadsheets of every, you know, sheets, files and stuff, and I have them broken down in different forms of the alphabet just so I could, because it's a lot, you know, it's over 1,200 authors and counting, and that's not counting the repeat number of times they had come back and got more books reviewed. Some authors, I've read every single thing they've written. So I keep track. And then there's sometimes a few try to sneak in, like you've read from, you know, reviews from me before, and then I look it up and I'm like, no. And I look it up in more than one place, you know. I look it up as the author's name. I look it up. I have paper copies, and I also have file copies. And not just what's on my blog, but like notepads. That's how I write my reviews, in a notepad, and then do copy and paste. I have all of my reviews I've ever written. so I can easily check to see if I've read for an author. And sometimes it's just because they're emailing me or requesting me with their real name, and I only know them based on their pen name.
Right.
And that can be a little confusing, too. So I try to clarify that. And I'm actually updating I have a master author list. I've been in the process of updating that with also their real names, because there was some miscommunication between me and an author who was sending me emails in two different email addresses and two different names, and she was talking about the same book and the same thing. So that kind of prompted me to be like, you know, I have the master list, which is the easiest way for me to look to see if I've reviewed for, but I'm adding, and I'm slowly doing that, adding if I have their real name, which I never divulge any author's real name to anybody, but if I can keep track of it, you know, if they email me as themselves, then I know, you know, what book they're talking about or what pen name.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, Amy, it seems like in order to be a reviewer, it's a really good tip for the person to definitely be organized. And so they have to figure out how they're going to organize themselves, because it seems like you have things saved in more than one place. And then you're able to get back with the authors, you know, rather quickly. So, you know, having, you know, a sense of, you know, checking your email several times a day, just making sure you actually keep track. So if somebody wants to get into being a book reviewer, what advice would you give them, and talk a little bit about your story?
Well, anyone that would wants to do this, I mean, you're not making money out of it, you know, which is something that you do if you love to read, you know, what's a few lines about the book you've read. When I first started, I had a very simple blog. And then once it started picking up, I moved it over to a blog that was a lot easier for me to use, and it looked better and everything like that. I started doing this. I always loved to read. I mean, as a writer, you should also be a reader. That's my belief. But I met another author. She was a children's author. And through LinkedIn, about people looking, and she was looking for someone to review her work, and she was wanted somebody, you know, and she said, "Oh, I'll read anything you wrote, and then I'll write reviews." And it wasn't like, you know, give me 5 stars and I'll give you 5 stars. It was like, you know, being honest. And we didn't, you know, we never met in person. We've only, you know, communicated through LinkedIn or through email. Together we were going to start a blog of reviews, you know, and just first starting out with each other's work and seeing how that did, and then reviewing anything we were reading at the time. But unfortunately, before that could happen, she passed away. From cancer. She did let me know that when she was going into the hospice, so I knew she didn't have much time left. So with that, I was trying to figure out, should I keep doing this? And I thought, yes, I am going to start off the blog, and I did. I started off with, I read all of her children's books, and they were books for children who have cancer, and, you know, they could beat it. You know, they were they were just wonderful stories. I know that a lot of her books were donated to a local children's hospital, so kids could see that, you know. Not a lot of people write about that, you know, kids with cancer and their stories and, you know, fighting it and being strong and brave, things like that. So actually the first reviews that I posted were my reviews of her work. And then after about a year or so, I moved everything over to a better blog, And that included re-entering all the old blog stuff and moving it over. And then after, I think it wasn't until, I started 2014, but it wasn't really until like 2016 where I found that there were, you know, book reviewer directories. And once I had my name listed on like three of them, the reviews were coming in, so they wanted things coming in, and I used to be able to give them a turnaround time. I can't do that anymore. And there were times when I had to put a freeze on what I was accepting, or accepting anything until I could catch up because I had that many requests. But over the years, I learned how to do it better, how to be organized better, how to make things easier for myself. You know, I send out a spreadsheet now, but I used to be the one that would take all the information the author gave me, put it in the spreadsheet, and then put it in my database. And that, I found, was just taking too much time. So I created a template, and that's what I send out to the authors for them to fill in.
Yeah, the spreadsheet was a little intimidating for me when I received it, just because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was, like, flying from the seat of my pants. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, okay, they told me, they meaning the publicist, was like, yeah, you know, this is what you should do. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, contact her. And so originally when they contacted you, you were not reading my genre. And so,
yeah, I was trying to catch up at that time. There was a lot of times where I would get an influx because people would read the directory. And since I was any genre, I had to put a freeze on a lot of stuff.
And so after I used all my hours with the publicist, it was really nice of her to reach back and say, hey, you reach out to her because now she is accepting your genre. So reach back out. And so I did. And so that when I got the Excel, and then there's a lot of things that I just didn't even know that you had to tell them, like, hey, you know, you don't have an author's page on Amazon. You don't have the, and I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And I was like, thank you, because I didn't even know. But I think that, you know, all that stuff is definitely very helpful, you know, in figuring and finding that kind of stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, some people are like, you know, they're like, they're not sure. Some people are not really computer literate, so they are intimidated by just filling in a spreadsheet because they don't know anything about it. So I actually have a text version that they can fill in through the email, you know, just type in the answers, and then they can, you know, send that to me, and then I will fill in a spreadsheet for them because my whole database is based on Excel. But if they have a Mac, they can send me the Mac version of a spreadsheet, and then I'll convert it and then add it to my my spreadsheets where they need to go.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me ask you this. So as a reviewer, what advice would you give authors? I mean, I know you're an author yourself, but as a reviewer from that particular perspective, what advice would you give to authors, a new author?
First thing I would tell them that before they, you know, contact a reviewer, they should look up book reviewer directories. And a lot of them will tell you, some of them they just, anybody can list. But there are some, like the Indie Book Reviewer, it's a directory, and those, the people that run that site, they validate the information before they add it to their page, and then, you know, they make sure their links are correct, and they do that periodically. And you have to be, to stay on that list, you have to be active in accepting reviews. So when I put a review freeze and I wanted to still kind of be active on that list, I wasn't accepting new requests, but I was accepting requests from repeat authors, so I could still say I was active, actively accepting new requests. If you're an author and you're looking for a book reviewer, read their policies, read their rules. If there's something that if they want you to pay and they're not Publishers Weekly or Kirkus Reviews and they want you to pay in order just to read your book, or if you pay, I'll give you 5 stars, that's not really a book review, and that's, you know, up to you. If you pay for a review, your review cannot be posted on Amazon. And Amazon checks out their reviewers. So y'all have to be on the up and up. Me, I accept donations, and sometimes the donations can be placed or be for a certain position on my list that would say you don't want to be at the end. You want to get a review as soon as you can. I have also, I've changed my policy on my express reviews. So if you want to get, like, your book is released in, like, 2 days and you want me to read it and review it to get posted on that day, there is a donation charge for that. And I have everything listed out on my request page. It says donations, and donations are not required for me to read your book. You do not need to send me any money to read and review your work. It will be added to my list, and your book will be read, and it will be reviewed, and I will contact you when you send me something, a request, a question, whatever, status report. Well, if you ask for a status, I will just direct you to my page where you can see where your book is listed, because I found I was getting a lot of status requests. When is my book going to be reviewed? So that's why I posted my list and my release calendar on my website, so people don't have to send me emails. They can just go look. Mm-hmm. But if you're, that's something that's really important as an author. Before you send your book, you find the reviewer you want to read your book, and it's the right genre. You have to make sure of that. Me, I do any genre, from children's books to erotic books to do-it-yourself, self-help, whatever the genre. I do read. Some people do not. A lot of people like to read what's in their comfort zone or what they enjoy to reading. So make sure your book fits with the reviewer, and then follow the directions from the reviewer. Not all reviewers will let you know when your review has been posted. You just kind of, you might be looking at your book on Amazon and, oh, I got another review, and then you see that it was somebody that you requested maybe last year or something. Not everybody responds, and I know this because I used to send out my books to be reviewed. You know, I did all the research and things like that in my own books. And a lot of them, if they were read and reviewed, I only found out because I happened to be looking at my my Amazon page or my Goodreads page or something like that. I respond to every email, usually within 24 hours, but I say, you know, expect something within 72 hours. That just gives me a little leeway if I'm not feeling well or whatever.
Very good, good and helpful advice. So thank you for that. It was very nice to to have you let us know whenever you want to post our review. That's always very helpful. And one of the things that we know with everything that we do in the world these days, you know, we look at a review to see if we're going to want to even purchase something. And so that even goes to books as well. It was very amazing because that's what we do just in general, but it was amazing that when I asked, you know, the people who were buying my book, hey, write a review. And then I was like, hey, because when you purchase something, you look at reviews. And it didn't dawn on them to post a review. So they were like, oh, yeah, I'll post a review. Yeah, yeah, I'll definitely do that. And
yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
And they don't think of it as much as if they're, like, reading a print copy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're reading it on, say, like, a Kindle, you know, an actual Kindle and reading a Kindle book at the end, and I don't think this happens if you just read it off the Kindle app, like on your PC, but if it's on an actual any Kindle device, when you get to the end, it'll ask you if you want to leave a review, and you can do it right then and there. You know, it kind of reminds you. But you're right, a lot of people don't think about it, leaving a review, especially if they have the print copy. I mean, me, I like both. I mean, I have literal bookshelves filled, and they're actually like books behind books on my shelves. And I have one dedicated to all the books that authors send me. And those are wonderful gifts, and I love it when they sign it, you know. And some people send me some swag and things like that. But if you're sending an author, a review of your work, it's also important to make sure that it's pretty much published ready. You know, it might, maybe it needs one more edit or something, but pretty much it's published ready, because you don't want to send them the first or second draft, because, I mean, I look at my first or second draft, I wouldn't want anybody to read that, because it's not polished, it's not finished. Even though it's finished, it's not finished. And
mm-hmm.
that's really important.
No, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it is, because, you know, it's really hard to read a story and really get behind the story when there's so many errors in it, right? You know,
yeah,
and I wouldn't let anybody review my fifth or sixth draft, you know what I'm saying, because I'm still working on it. And so you're
exactly
right. Have it to the point where you're ready to publish it. And because because you know, I won't give you my work unless it is like,
oh, I know.
I'm like, no, I'm not gonna. Mm-mm. And so then once I clean it up a lot, I'll let you read it, and then, you know, you'll kind of check for some things for me. But other than that, no, things have too many errors in it. And I think that's definitely something that gives indie authors just a bad name when, you know, when someone's picking up something that's published. I'm saying published. I'm not saying going to a reviewer. I'm saying published. Published and out there. Even
yep.
if it's 99 cents, I think that if I'm using my hard-earned money on something, I want it to be a clean draft. Not a draft, a clean, you know, very, very edited and reviewed prior to it being published. And so that sometimes gives us as indie authors a bad name, because some of the things aren't being reviewed like it should.
Exactly. And what I recommend to people, even if, you know, they've, you know, always have a second pair of eyes, have an editor, you know, do, you know, edit your work. But also, once you that's all done, read it in the format it's going to be published as. So if you are going to publish, say, only on Kindle and paperback, I would recommend printing out your book, reading it that way. But I would also recommend reading it, you know, convert it to a MOBI file, and there's different programs to do that. I use Calibre, and it's free. You can convert it to whatever digital file you want. But read it as the reader is going to read it in the format, because I noticed a lot of times I think, oh, I'm pretty much done, and then I start reading it on the Kindle version and I see maybe there's a formatting issue, or not, there's a typo, but it's like a transpose word, like instead of from it says form, you know, things like that, you know, where it's still a word, so tired eyes might not always catch it, but you might catch it when you read it in a different format. you know, even have it, your computer or your Kindle, or whatever device you have, if it can read back to you, you know, that you can do that and listen to it. Sometimes hearing it out loud or even yourself reading the book out loud, you see how the story flows and if it, you know, it doesn't feel like stunted, especially dialogue.
Hmm. Yeah, I really do like that advice. I think that's some really great advice. Yeah, you can never have too many set of eyes looking at something for you, because you said sometimes you have tired eyes and sometimes you're reading it, you know what you intend to say, and you're thinking that that message is being conveyed, but it's really not.
Exactly.
So I think it's good having other people read that as well. You know, there's been times where I was writing something, I had somebody to leave the room, and then only to have the person, me, continue to write and as the person was in the room. And so you have to, you know, it's just those kind of things that you can definitely catch when you have another pair of eyes that's on your stuff.
Exactly. And if you're reading out loud or listening to, like, a computer read it out loud to you, you read every single word. You know, you're...
Right.
If you're like me, I'm a speed reader. I can read, you know, sometimes I slow down because the book's just that good. And other times I read with the intention of writing a review. But when you do that, you're not focused on every single word, especially when you're reading it off the screen or even in a book, you're reading it to yourself. You might miss a word, or, you know, you just kind of like your eyes might just glaze over that, even if it's someone else's work. So reading it aloud, it makes you read every single word that's on the page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I like that because sometimes you can skip something and you think that, you know, you think that what you wrote was exactly how you meant it to say, but you didn't because you skipped a word. And so, yeah, I think that's really helpful too. I just say, just always get, you know, I think authors need to have other author friends, because your family gets tired of reading your work. And so, get other author friends to read something for you and give you some feedback, just so you can, You know, get another beta reader to kind of read and understand what you're trying to say. And you know, if they tend to like your work, they'll definitely read it and let you know.
But get somebody that's going to be honest with you, and you know, not like negate anything that you've written, but give feedback in a way that not only is receptive to the author getting the feedback, but also, you know, it's not a criticism. It's just, this is what I think of your story or whatever. You don't want somebody, just because they love you, say, oh, yeah, it's fine. No, you don't
right.
want that.
Yeah, and then also we as authors, we have to have thick skin too. So
yeah.
This has been the After Show. And I'm Mackenzie Stewart.
And I'm Amy Shannon, so whether you want to write a book
or just read one, we have the show for you. Till next time.
Till next
Bye-bye.
Time. Bye-bye.